So who can tell me what we've been talking about recently? That's right, the nine fruits of the Spirit. So, which ones have we gone through already? Okay, wow, okay. Yes, we are doing gentleness tonight. So, obviously the same verse we've been using the last few weeks we're going to use again, which is where we find the fruits of the Spirit. Who can tell me where we find the fruits of the Spirit? There we go, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. So far we've learned about all the way up until gentleness. So, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, what have we learned from all of those that we can apply tonight so far? Before I even talk about gentleness, what do we already know that's going to apply? I know somebody learned something the last 7 weeks, 6 weeks. Nobody. Okay, so what are the fruits of the Spirit then? Because we're going to start over if you don't know it. So, No. Not what are they. What do they mean? What is the purpose of the fruits of the Spirit? What fruit? What kind of fruit? What kind of fruit? Right. It's a grape, though. Remember, it's the grape. If you missed that week, I apologize. We'll try to get the grape back up for you at some point. Let's see. Can Jennifer work some magic back there? Maybe not. Okay, we'll see. So, anyway, so the fruits of the Spirit, there's nine fruits, obviously. Oh, there we go. Okay, so there's our grape. So apparently there are nine parts of a grape. Go figure, I had no idea. Anyway, so in the same way that this works together to make one grape, all of these parts and all of these fruits, all of these characteristics come together to make what we call the fruit of the Spirit. So one of these without the other is useless. So what is the point if you have love if you don't have joy? Same thing applies. What if you have kindness but not gentleness? To have the fruit, you got to have all of them. To have that grape, to have a grape, you got to have all nine parts. So that means one is just as important as the other. Now, tonight we're going to talk about gentleness. So when you think about gentleness, what comes to your mind? A baby, okay. All right, my thought, as soon as I think about gentleness, I see a picture of the Jolly Green Giant. From like the green bean cans, that's what I see. And those green beans are terrible, but that's what I see. I see the Jolly Green Giant, and I don't know why. Because I guess we could connect it, but we're not going to go that far because that's a rabbit hole that I don't want to go down, so we're not going there. But what is gentleness? So somebody tell me what their definition of gentleness is. What's that? Charmin toilet paper. I could draw that connection, but again, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole either. So, Cameron. Might in restraint. That's good. I've never heard that, but that's really good. Might in restraint. That was long before my time, so you have a question about it, I'm sure Miss Vanessa would be glad to explain it to you later. So, for me, what is gentleness? Gentleness is an extension of kindness. We already talked about kindness. So, a couple weeks ago, we talked about what kindness was and why it was important to be kind and what it meant to be kind. So, gentleness is very similar to kindness. So, if you're kind, it's a little bit easier to be gentle. But gentleness is actually an extension of that. So it's going beyond kindness. It's actually an action, and it's an application of something. So it's how you apply these actions that really matters. What am I talking about? So we're going to talk about that in just a second. I'm going to explain why it's action more so than just something on the inside. So let's look at some examples of gentleness from other verses in the Bible. So we're going to go one chapter over and go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted too." What's that mean? Okay. Out of context, really doesn't mean that much. But if you go back and read the chapter, and nobody's talking about, what he's saying is, how are you going to correct another brother or sister in Christ that messes up? How are you going to go tell somebody they just did something wrong? He says, be gentle about it. What does that mean to be gentle about it? What version is that? Awesome, I like that. That makes sense. So, to be use gentleness in this situation, it means you're not going to go after them and say, start yelling at them, start telling them they're such a bad person, or they're a terrible person, or they did all these things wrong. That's not being gentle. So in this case, being gentle means being strong, being firm, and being stern about it, but also being kind. So if somebody's messing, if your brother's doing something wrong, and your brother's hitting you, and hitting you, and hitting you, and hitting you, are you just going to let him keep hitting you? Okay, so aside from the violence, what is one way that you could correct your brother or sister? Maybe. Okay, aside from violent means, which would not be gentle. Okay, all right, so reining it in for a minute. So the opposite of being violent and hitting them back or screaming at them would be to just ask them to stop. But, okay, it doesn't work. Why does it not work? Because you're not being stern about it, right? So you can still be polite and be stern about it. That's what the whole concept of gentleness is about, saying what you want to say, doing what you want to do, but it's your approach to it. It's all about your attitude towards it. So I have a couple examples of where you would use gentleness and how it would apply. So let's say everybody's seen the commercials or the TV shows where somebody in the military passes away, and they have these officers come to their door and tell their family about it. A couple of my very good friends, actually, they do that. They're the ones that go to people's doors and tell them that their son or daughter or somebody's passed away. So now there's two different approaches to this. You could have somebody answer the door or call you on the phone and say, "Hey, your son's dead. Come get his body." Now, that's not very gentle, right? You're still doing the same thing. Or here's the gentle approach to it. Two men dressed in their best clothes walk up to your front door. You answer the door. They tell you to have a seat on your couch. They get you something to drink. They hold your hand, give you a box of tissues, and tell you, "Ma'am, sir, your son's passed away." Which approach is going to be more gentle? Which approach would you want somebody to take if it was someone in your family? Okay, so that is a very extreme example of gentleness. So that's how God's saying here, by having the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, that's how you should approach situations. So everything you do, whether it's reprimanding somebody or correcting somebody, telling somebody they're wrong, telling somebody some information that they may not want to hear, somebody's died, something bad has happened in their family, you want to use gentleness. Now, these are obviously extreme examples. Every day, you're not going to go to school and say, "Hey, buddy, your brother just passed away." Okay, thankfully, we don't have to do that, at least not in America. But when we look at different situations, it doesn't have to be that extreme. It could be something as simple as telling somebody about Christ. So when you were in Vacation Bible School and they taught you how to tell other people about Christ. What was the acronym that they used? At least when I was growing up. Do they still use ABC? Admit, believe, confess. Okay. Okay, so maybe there's some different things out there now, but the idea is you don't just run up to somebody and say, hey, you're going to burn in hell because you're a terrible person. Okay, so that's not very gentle. That's not very kind. That's kind of in your face. You may get a not-so-nice response to that. Instead, they teach you, even at a young age, even all the way down to elementary school, to tell somebody that they're a sinner, that they need to admit it. At least when I was growing up, it was ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on a cross, was raised again on the third day. And then confess to him your sins. I think they changed the C later on. But when I was really little, it was confess to him that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. So that's the gentle approach to a situation that could be handled differently. Now, the good thing about all these fruits of the Spirit that we see is these same qualities that God is telling us we need to have, he shows himself. They're all qualities of God. God doesn't say, hey, you need to be loving and joyful and peaceful, and he's over here destroying all this stuff and blowing all this stuff up and being evil to all these people and treating these people terrible. He's loving. He's joyful. He brings peace. He gives us examples throughout his word of when he uses every single one of these fruits himself. He gives us an example to go by. So if that's true, then it means at some point he had to be gentle, right, in the Bible? Right? Okay. So let's look at some examples of when Jesus was gentle. So who remembers who the Pharisees are? Go ahead. who the Pharisees are? Okay, they were people. So the Pharisees were like the scholars of the time, and they were really religious, but they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So they didn't believe that he was God's son that was on earth, and they didn't believe any of his teachings that he was spreading. So they went by the rule of the law, they were by the book, they did everything by the book, and there was no other option. So anything that went against that, they weren't happy with. So when Jesus handled the Pharisees, and he did many times in the scriptures, how did he handle talking to them? Okay, that was the easy answer. No, I'm just kidding, that's good. But, so he didn't just yell at them and tell them, don't tell me what to do, I'm the Son of God, I'm going to do what I want to do, leave me alone. He did. He tried to give them the truth, the hope of him, and B, even when they didn't agree with him, he wasn't rude to them, he wasn't nasty to them, he told them they were wrong, but he did it in a way that was loving and that was gentle. In a way that got his point across, but he didn't lose what we call, okay, so in the South, I don't know if y'all ever hear it, but walk around, somebody gets mad at somebody and say, man, you about to make me lose my witness. Okay? I don't know. I've heard it more times than I can count, okay? Somebody's walking into Walmart, the line's really long, the cashier's taking forever, and this lady turns, this, you know, 60-year-old lady turns around and she's like, man, this cashier about to make me lose my witness. I better get out of here, okay? We all know what that means. So Jesus didn't lose his witness when he was handling the Pharisees. He used gentleness. And in the same way that he does, we're called to use that same approach. So when you're talking to somebody that doesn't agree with you, it's okay to tell them they're wrong. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to agree with it. But what matters is how you handle the way you tell them they're wrong. How you handle that interaction. That is what it means to display gentleness. So another scripture where we see it used is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So that's what we talked about earlier. When you're spreading the word, when you're trying to tell others about Jesus, he said it's okay to do it. He said always be prepared to make a defense. So to defend your relationship with Christ and your beliefs in Christ to anyone who asks for the reason of your hope. But do it with gentleness and respect. So in other words, don't lose your witness. Be respectful about it. And that also means you have to respect whatever their beliefs are. So if they're a Muslim, or if they're a Mormon, or if they're Hindu, the way to bring them to Christ is not to go cutting down whatever they believe in. It's not to go talking bad about whatever they believe, because all you're going to do is bring up their walls. All they're going to do is see you as somebody who hates them, somebody who doesn't respect them. You got to be gentle. You got to be respectful about it. It says, having good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So there's another reason to use gentleness. A, you feel good about it. So you have good conscience. So you feel okay, you feel good about it. So when you go and yell at somebody and make them feel bad, how does that make you feel? Makes you feel bad, right? Nobody wants to hurt anybody else's feelings. So if you're gentle and respectful, you're not going to hurt anybody else's feelings, and then you're not going to feel bad about it. And also says, when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. I don't know about you, but I'd rather God punish somebody that does something to me than me punish them. Yeah? I think I'd rather let God handle it, let him take the situation on, than me do it. So if you're disrespectful to somebody because they don't agree with you, now you're taking that punishment that you think they deserve and you're putting it on them by yelling at them or screaming at them and being mean. But this says if you're gentle and you're respectful, those that slander you, so those that are disrespectful to you, those that call you out, those that call you names, those that revile your good behavior, so those that say you're doing the wrong thing, they may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So let God handle it. Be gentle. Be respectful. Be kind. And let God handle the ones that aren't. That's not your job. So when is another time that Jesus was gentle? Who did Jesus like to have around him? The sinners. More specifically, what kind of people, what age of people did Jesus always call to him? Right, the children, he said. So when you're handling children, you've got to be gentle, right? You've got to be kind. You've got to be easy with them. So Jesus always showed gentleness by calling the children to him. He always wanted to have the children around him so that he could be with them and speak with them and talk with them. And that requires a gentle approach. Same for us. When you go handle a small child, you're not going to pick him up and fling him around and yell at him if he does something wrong. No, you're going to be calm. You're going to be gentle. You're going to be easy. So what is gentleness then? We've said it. Okay, you're going to be gentle. It's like when the teacher asks you to define a word and you use the same word in the definition. That's cheating, right? Okay, so I've been cheating a little bit tonight, and I've been using gentleness as a definition for gentleness. Okay? So gentleness, in the Bible's definition, is being firm with a strong hand, but being tactful about it. So this goes back to what we talked about with the lady that lost her son. Those that came and told her about it, dressed up, and sat her down, they were tactful. What does it mean to be tactful? Okay, so you watch your words, be wise. So using tact means you get your point across in a way that is respectful, in a way that specifically reaches the audience you're trying to reach. So if I want to talk to a bunch of five-year-olds, I'm not going to use the same words that I use if I'm talking to senior citizens, right? Probably not going to understand what I'm saying, one way or the other. So this applies the same way. Use tact. It's okay to talk to some people in a certain way, but it may not be okay to talk to somebody else in the same way. So, in that same way, gentleness can be applied. Be respectful for other people's behaviors, for their level of understanding. So, if I were to text my grandma, and yes, my grandma does text, believe it or not, I was surprised when she started. I'm never going to say LOL or BRB. Or whatever other text language is out there, because she's going to send a message back and say, what? With like 15 question marks. So, but if I'm talking to one of you, there's nothing wrong with saying that, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, in that same way, when you're trying to get a message across to a certain person, use tact. Talk to them in a way that they can understand it, in a way that they're going to be able to use the information you just gave them. That's being gentle. So I've got one more example, and I got a little prop here. Does anybody know what this is? It's not a magic wand, I promise. It is a golf grip. I was going to bring the whole golf club, but I just re-gripped my clubs, so I had an extra grip. So now, why do I bring a golf grip? Let's pretend it's a whole club if you want to. That's fine. What does this have to do with gentleness? Okay. So when I think of golf, before I started playing golf especially, I think of walking up to the tee, swinging and hitting something as hard as you can and trying to knock it as far down that green fairway as you can, right? Yes. Now, if you think about it that way, you will never be a professional. You will never be a professional if your thought of golf is hitting as hard as you can and trying to get as far down the field as you can. Because a professional looks at this golf grip and they see something that they want to cradle like a baby. What does that mean? Golfers have some of the strongest hand strength, grip strength, and forearm strength of any sports players in the world. It's a known fact. Why? So they can grip this club as hard as they can? Absolutely not. It's because by having really strong forearms and really strong hands, they can hold the club, but have a very, very gentle grip. Okay. I'm not going to argue with it, but that's fine. Now, why do you need a gentle grip on this club? What does a club do? What's it supposed to do when you swing it? Okay, yes, it's supposed to hit a ball and knock it way down the fairway. It's also supposed to rotate. Now, how much can a golf club rotate if you've got a death grip on it? Exactly. So professional golfers grip the club in a way that it can actually rotate through their swing. Now, if I'm gripping it as hard as I can, it's not going to rotate. Try to turn that. Try to turn it now. So that grip has to be gentle. But to have a gentle grip on the club, you have to be strong. The same thing can be applied to your faith. To have a gentle approach with somebody, especially when you're talking about Christ, you've got to be strong in your faith. You've got to have a strong knowledge base. You've got to have a strong understanding of what you believe. Because if not, your first response is going to be to lose your gentle attitude and to be ugly with somebody, to be defensive with somebody. You're going to want to get in their face. But if you have facts on your side, if you understand what's in the Word and you understand what you believe and why, then you can be gentle about your approach and about the way you handle it. So as I close, here's some questions for you. Do you handle situations with gentleness? Is your approach to people who don't believe the same thing you believe, is it gentle or is it defensive? Are you in their face? Are you telling them they're wrong? If you don't handle these situations with gentleness, why? Why don't you? So if you're not being gentle in these situations, that means you're not bearing good fruit. You're not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. So why not? So just right now, take a look at your life. Take a look at yourself and figure out if you're bearing these good fruits, if you're being gentle, if you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Do you have these? Are you bearing these fruits? If not, figure out why. If you're not, the first question to ask yourself is, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? He was buried in the grave and he was raised back to life for you. And if you're saved, then what's causing your fruit to be bad? Is there something that you're holding inside of you that is causing you to bear bad fruit? If the roots of an apple tree are bad and the roots can't hold water, can't bring that water up the trunk of the tree and out to the fruit, that fruit's not going to be good fruit. Are your roots strong? Are you rooted in the Word? Is your relationship strong? Do you pray? Do you believe? Are you communicating with God the way that you should be? Do you have something that you're holding inside, like anger or unforgiveness? Is there something that you've gone through in your life that you just can't get past? Is there something you just can't get over that's causing you to feel something bad against somebody else? Because let me tell you, there's a God that can get rid of whatever it is you're dealing with. You may not be able to get past it, but he can walk you through it. He can bring you through anything that you're going through. It doesn't matter how bad it might seem to you, how bad you might think it is. It's not over. It's not over until God says it's through. So if you're holding something inside tonight that you feel like you need to get rid of, if you've got some chains that are holding you down, we serve a God that can break these chains. We serve a God that came to an earth that didn't deserve him, that spent 30-something years on this earth being spat on and beat, that walked up a hill carrying a cross, that got on that cross and was nailed to it. That died the most painful, torturous death that man has ever created. And he didn't get off that cross when it got painful. But he did that Because when he was on that cross, he took everything that you're holding right now. He took it upon himself so he can take it away from you. And right now, you don't have to do anything but believe. He can take it away. He can take it from you. That same God died on that cross. And he was put in a grave. It was a tomb with a huge stone in front of it. When he was in that grave, he didn't sit there. He didn't just lay there in that dead body. He went down to hell. And he went and got the keys. And 3 days later, he came up out of that grave with the keys to death and the keys to whatever it is that's holding you tonight. He came out with those keys and he can set you free. And he's here to do that tonight. All you got to do is believe. If you've never accepted Christ, it's not too late. Now is your opportunity. Don't let it pass by one more day. Don't let it go. Don't miss that chance. If you're bearing fruit that's bad, figure out why. If you need to be saved, if you need to admit that you believe in the God that got on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later came back, tonight's your opportunity to do that. If there's something that's holding you down, something that you need to find the keys to, you have an opportunity tonight. There's leaders here that'll pray with you. They're going to do one more song. And as they do, you're going to have an opportunity to come pray with somebody if you need to. There's something you feel like, even if you don't know what it is, something that's dragging and pulling on you. If God's calling you to do something tonight, don't be afraid. Nobody's going to look at you and think you're weird. Because guess what? They're going through something too. Tonight is your chance. Don't walk out of here missing an opportunity. I'm going to pray and they're going to sing one more song. Vanessa and I will both be up here. If you feel like you need to talk to somebody, you just need to come up here and pray. We're going to be here. We'll be here as long as you need us to be here. Let's all stand as we pray. God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you gave us an opportunity to live out the same characteristics that you do. God, that you gave us a perfect example of how we're supposed to live our lives. And God, that when we don't live our lives that way, it's not the end. That you don't give up on us because we make a mistake. God, that even now, you'll take us in. God, that all we have to do is call out to you. God, to humble ourselves before you and say, God, we need you. So tonight, God, as I pray for these students, God, and these leaders also, God, if they need something from you, that they wouldn't be afraid to call out to you. God, because I know you will answer. God, there's nothing we can do to earn it. But 2,000 years ago, you already won the battle. We just have to claim the victory. God, let us claim that victory tonight. God, touch lives tonight, God, that nobody would leave here the same way that they came in. That they wouldn't leave here holding anything back. God, but they would lay it at your feet tonight. God, be glorified in everything that we do. God, move in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.